You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there. What's the Skippy this week? More Diddy news, more denials. I have read and I've heard. I don't know. I don't hang in those circles of the big and bad and the important in Hollywood, but I am on a certain side of the entertainment industry, and so I am privy to some things, you know, but I try not to follow any rules of gossip or things that may not be true. It only comes back to haunt people, and when I see years later, you know, some of the industry people that I've had the fortune to be around and some misfortune to be around, I've seen their lives unfold, just as we all see people's lives unfold over time, our own and everyone else's. And if they've done anything on the wild side or things like that, their lives, you know, our lives are reflective of how we think, who we are inside, and the kind of actions and behavior we have. So now the United Healthcare Workers suspect has been held under siege now, Luigi Mangione. The weird thing about people that do things like this is that he's a good-looking kid. And so somebody might look on the outside and say, oh, wow, he doesn't look like he'd hurt anyone at all or want to do anything like that. But it goes back to what, you know, we talk about every week when I have something to say about life's lessons. And we talk about how we cannot judge people from what they look like on the outside. It's how behavior and how they behave. And even the most subtle behavior, one has to be attuned to. And so they have him under suspect, you know. And then can you imagine a 3D printed gun? A 3D printed gun. A 3D printed gun that people can, you know, guns can be 3D printed. What's to stop a bomb or, you know, some explosive thing that could hurt everyone? What's to keep that from being printed? So I don't know how I feel about that one. And then all conversations, you know, holiday season, the weather is getting harsher and colder. It was really cold here in LA this morning. Colder than I've seen. It was colder than yesterday, and it's harsh for, you know, some a state that has a lot of warmth. It would be weird, like same thing for Florida or anywhere that it's a lot of heat, and then all of a sudden there's a sudden drop in temperature, so it's freezing cold. And after all, we are in a basin. We're in a canyon, you know, like down in the ground, you know, in the mellows. So I could have some other opinions about things, about politics, what I think about Trump, what I think about Biden, what I think about politics. I tend to keep those things to myself. Number one, I really don't care. My importance and not my opinion, it is more important for me to find out how my neighbor feels today, you know, are they eating? Are they sleeping? Are we all being taken care of? I take it there first, and then the decision of who we chose to make sure that those things are handled on a larger level is probably where my heart is, not so much this political candidate or that political candidate. I'm into the candidate that shows humanity, the person that makes sure that every American, whoever they are, wherever they come from, as long as they have the stamp that says American citizen on it, that they are fed, they are clothed, they have jobs, you know, they can live their lives in some sort of comfort. That is from everything from, you know, managing our weather systems properly, being able to gauge better when something might be cataclysmic to avoid it, perhaps in the future, to understand that we're on a planet that is evolving and spinning around in space, to understand that there are areas and realms of living and life that we just don't understand, to understand that we don't use most of our brains, as I'm always saying. So I think a lot of our opinions and things like that are faulty, and they may be based on emotion and unreasonable thoughts. I don't think one person is capable of running a whole country and interacting with a globe. I think that, in my opinion anyway, I thought the intention of political campaigns and political parties were to unite with the people of the country, to unite with those in support of, so that we could all benefit. We can all benefit. We can all benefit. So if it's not the we, it would be about the me. So I'm more about the we. So that's what I have to say about that. Anything else is rhetorical. It's been said a million times over. You know, everybody has an opinion. I just tend to say, keep it on a universal, multiversal level and keep it all cool. If it, as long as it applies to humanity, that's all I want to know about it. If it's applies to humanity and something that is within reason. Still, the mask fall repeatedly. The more the truth is revealed, the more a mask will fall. Everyone has a mask to a certain degree. And a lot of people that don't wear a mask are considered or seem quirky or odd to other people because they are truly being their authentic selves and probably have been most of their lives and have been put down for it. So today, drum roll, we have a guest. You are going to love who it is. We're waiting for her to get online with us. I'm told that we are looking for her. Not that she's lost, but we just have to get her to get online. And she is a People's Choice Award winner. A 3-time Golden Globe nominee. I think she was one of the first mothers on TV that everyone loved. I mean, we had Julia, who is a nurse, Diane Carroll. We had, for mothers, I'm talking about mothers. And then we had, I think in that time, we had Barbara Stanwyck, who was one of those shows that she was the mom of all the boys, you know. Mom with a whole host of boys that were rugged and handsome and virile and did everything that young men did in those days to focus to make sure that their property, their land, and their families would be taken care of properly. And she is another beloved mother. She was Olivia Walton on The Waltons. Remember the family, the Waltons family? She was the mom. Her name is Michael Learnet. She also played the mother on a show called Our Crossroads, featuring, it was about Bob Fraley and his wife, played by Pat Boone, the illustrious Pat Boone, I might say. And the mother, who is Miss Michael Learnet, is played by, of course, Michael Learnet. I think his name is Barbara Fraley is the name of the mom for the show. And anyway, so we're waiting on her to get with us. So meanwhile, again, I am left with the great task of finding a heartfelt subject to talk to you about until we get her on camera. I wanted to talk a little bit about just patterns and repetitive patterns and how oftentimes when we don't do work on ourselves, you know, we don't work at ourselves, which is a constant job to work on self. We get into repetitive patterns that for some of us, I would say maybe 99% of us may be destructive. So such is the case with Diddy. You know, such is the case with people that maybe perhaps they got into a pattern of, you know, doing things and just, you know, didn't know how to stop. So then, you know, now you're stuck, you know, with those things. And so I don't know if we necessarily know how to change them, you know. I'm sorry, I'm trying to talk to you guys and seeing where the guest is right now, and talking to them like that. So, anyway, so back to patterns of repetition. So as we create good patterns, that means we're thoughtful of other people, not just ourselves. Hold on, everybody. I am trying to get them online. I'm being told that there is a problem logging on. Shouldn't be. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to get this person on. So anyway, again, we're trying to get someone to log on their link, and I'm in touch with them on the phone. Okay. Hold on. I don't know if the host. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde. I don't know what's going on. Mercury retrograde. So back to repetitive patterns. So when Mercury retrograde comes around, it can kind of mess with all of those kind of patterns. It takes us into another space, asking us to be a little clearer, sharper, more focused, so that we don't have any kind of issues whatsoever. So I don't know what's going on. Okay. I don't know what's going on. So I'm getting one text. Just stay there. So, okay, let me see again. Okay. All right, I'm told that someone is parking and, you know, they are royals, so they've got a lot of other things that they have to tend to before they get in with us. Okay. Hold on. Jeez Louise. Jeez Louise. I'm going to have the engineer call the guest. See if he makes sure they have the right thing. And meanwhile, I'm going to keep talking about patterns and things that we have a hard time breaking. So let's just say we are in abusive relationships, businessships, partner love relationships, partnerships, friendships, anything. And so one of the parties is growing, and maybe another person hasn't had the opportunity for whatever reason to do the inner work. What usually happens is that the person that is growing, or people, if it's a group growing, turns around and the other person is stuck somewhere back in a different frame of time. So they're behaving on a different frame of time because the mindset and perspective of those mental patterns are set within that person. So it's kind of hard, you know, to change in some cases. Now, some people are capable of changing, like Sagittarians, people that are mutable signs, Sag, Pisces, Gemini, Virgo. All they need is a little stimulus so they can move quite frequently. But then you have people that are born or have conglomerates, planets, houses, whatever, attached to fixed signs. Fixed signs are those people that can't be moved very readily. And all of us have some parts of those energies within us. They can't be moved very readily. So if we don't have them, we draw people like that to us to ground us, to make us solid and think about actions and the repercussions of those actions before we possibly make them. So, anyway. Okay. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, I have no idea what to do with this situation. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, I have no idea what's going on. Anyway, maybe everyone is just, you know, I'm going to take a deep breath and calm down and see if we can get this thing rolling. I have no idea what to do. So anyway, back to what I was saying about things that are hard to break. So a lot of times there are situations like this one where things are thrown to us from the outside. We don't have any control over, like, you know, we did everything we were supposed to do as a station shows here going every day, every week. And so this is something the engineer and the host are used to doing. And so oftentimes, okay. Hold on one more second. That's what he's saying. The publicist is saying it. Hey, everybody, I'm back. I am so sorry about that, I guess. There is a real thing called technical difficulties when it comes to being on the screen. So we were talking about repetitive patterns. I think I was talking about fixed signs, how, you know, people that are fixed in opinions, mindsets, maybe have a hard time shifting their belief systems. Well, Diddy happens to be a Scorpio. I don't know what his chart is. I haven't looked at it. I'm really not that interested. But, you know, I know that him being a Scorpio, the certain aspects of the Scorpionic nature is sex. And the wanting to merge and the wanting to become one with something. Scorpios are also maybe interested in the occult, in mystical, in the deeper realms of living, in things that lie beyond sight, you know, things that are unseen, unheard, things like that. And they can often be classed as, you know, pretty demonic in some ways. So can Gemini, so can any other person or sign that's operating in the lowest. But in terms of Scorpio being a fixed sign, it would be perhaps more difficult for them to change, or those fixed signs, Aquarius, Scorpio, Taurus, to shift and move right away. They just are really penetrative and also very focused. So a positive side to that would be that once you concentrate on something, focus is unbelievable. Scorpios can basically focus their will on something and it'd be done. That's how powerful the sign is on its highest, in its highest level. You know, Aquarians, another fixed sign that can hold on to the future and vision of the future and hold on and make it real. Tauruses, same thing with finances, business, you know, things like that, anything material that we place value in. And so now I think we have our guest. I think she's here. Are you here? Okay, I think she's coming on. He's adding her to the stage. I think we are coming on.
Just catching up with me.
Are you there? Hi.
Hi.
We have the goddess supreme in the studio now. Michael, Ms. Michael Learned. Hi. I was talking because I wanted to talk you all the way up into the studio. How are you today?
I'm obviously losing my mind, but other than that, I'm fine.
Well, don't worry about it, because we're all losing our minds too. It's just a lot going on, you know, period. And a lot to keep up with and a lot to do. And I so admire you for your courage to come on and be with us despite a delay in schedules. It doesn't matter. I'm just happy to have you here, honey. Okay.
Thank you.
So before you got to the show, I was telling them that you were a People Choice Award winner, 3-time Golden Globe nominee. You were one of our first beloved mothers of TV, Olivia Walton from the Waltons. I always tell people this has nothing to do with age or anything else. This has to do with if you know TV and film and what you like to do. And I happen to love and have a nostalgia for anything classic in Hollywood, anything, because right now all the kids stuff is tainted with drugs and sex problems and divorces and legalities. So I find some peace and
drama.
You know, it's a lot of drama. So I find some peace and comfort in talking to those from the real Hollywood, I call it, like yourself. So let's just get into the questions. You have been Olivia Walton. You came from being this nice mom to being the grandmother of Jeffrey Dahmer in the Ryan Murphy series. Then you went from that to being the mother you and your husband, the Fraleys. You played the mother who talked about how they were able to get the orphans on our crossroads.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about how you transitioned from being the really, really nice mom into some deeper, more emotional roles, like the Dahmer series and like Our Crossroads with Pat Boone, the illustrious Pat Boone, and yourself.
Well, I feel so grateful about the Dahmer, it's called Monster, is the title I think they've decided on. I'm grateful because it was a really part that had some meat to it.
Yeah.
She went from being just a kind of nice, kindly grandma to the point where she has dementia. It was something to really sink my teeth into. And working with Evan Peters was a sheer joy. He's a lovely human being. And so, and Ryan Murphy ain't too shabby either.
he's sweet. He seems to be sweet. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a major producer, very fine quality stuff. So I was thrilled to get the job, and I enjoyed it. It was I think about a 7-week gig, and my scenes with Evan were all pleasant. I didn't know he was a serial killer in the show, so I didn't know that.
What are you?
Grandson of mine was off killing people on the side for a hobby.
And when they presented this script to you, this idea to bring to life or to tell this story, what kind of psychological preparation did you have to go into to deal with somebody that not only, you know, who knows who's a serial killer and who's out murdering people behind the mask that we can all, any of us could wear? What was the mental process that you had to go through? Because you're Olivia Walton, and now you're the grandma.
Well, she was a very nice lady, the grandmother. So it wasn't that hard, and she loved her grandson. I remember coming home one day from shooting, and I rang the doorbell. I'd forgotten my key, and my grandson, who happened to be living with us at the time. Who is gorgeous, good-looking, sweet as can be, you know, opened the door with a huge, loving grin on his face. And I thought, oh, my God, what would it be like to find out that this person you absolutely adore is a serial killer?
What do you think, if this were the case, let's just say you're the real grandmother. And this part that is your Dahmer is your, I would think it would be psychologically hard. There's all these emotions. Do you care because you're the grandmother and you saw this person, you've seen them grow up into a man, or what, how do you take that?
I would still love him. I remember my son when he was, my youngest son, Lucas, when he was, oh, he must have been about 6, maybe, or maybe younger, 5, maybe. Mm-hmm. And he came to me and he said, Mom, if I murdered somebody, would you turn me in? And of course, those are the questions you say, God help me, how do I answer this question? And I said, yes, Lucas, I would have to turn you in because it's wrong to kill people. And you would be, I couldn't let you go on and be a dangerous human being, but I would come and visit you every single day. And that was the best I could do.
Why, you're locked up for being crazy, okay? Going around murdering people.
No, it would be, it would just be, you may be a murderer, but you're my grandson or you're my son and I still love you. Mm-hmm. How can you just stop loving someone that's part of you, you know?
I don't know.
Unless he abuses you, and he was not abusive to his grandmother, Jeffrey Dahmer.
He was
a crazy guy. And, you know, I did a lot of research trying to figure out who the woman was the grandma. And there wasn't much on her, but I saw a lot of interviews with him. And it was insane because he sounded so
normal,
down to earth, smart, and almost puzzled by how did I do that? At one point he said, you know, there must be something wrong with this part of my brain because I guess I'm just different from other people. You think?
I don't
you
know.
Think
yeah,
you're different?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, do you think it can be? I don't know. It's a hard call to say. Because I don't know. My thoughts are way beyond some other concepts. I do believe in things like reincarnation, things like that. So I do think that that's just my opinion, not to put that in on anyone out there.
I'm still going to talk.
Can you hear?
I'm still on the show, but I don't see you anywhere.
Okay. That's okay. We can see you and I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Kind of.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Hello.
Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Hi again. So I was saying that, you know, in the terms of those things we talk about, reincarnation, and maybe people can bring over different aspects of their psychological personality that they still need to work on in this lifetime. And maybe in some lifetime, those people did something to them and they earned that thing, or the person did something to them. And how does it stop? When does it start? Where does it end? And all of that. So I would think psychologically, someone would have to, from childhood on, their mind would have had to been thinking a certain kind of way to evolve into an adult that then took an action to murder somebody. What do you think?
I think that's a very profound question. And it could take a long time to really answer. But I do think we do inherit traits from former ancestors. So who knows who his former ancestors were.
That's right.
But there was something wrong with him from the get-go. I mean, apparently he used to love to, if there was a dead raccoon or something, he used to love to take it apart.
Wow.
Almost like a puzzle, like he was solving a puzzle. And then he did that, of course, to human beings. My thing about, the one problem I had with the whole story was, at one point I'm sitting in the, grandma's sitting in the kitchen doing a crossword puzzle, and grandson Jeffrey Dahmer drags a huge black garbage bag through the kitchen that obviously weighs too much for him to pick up. He's dragging it. And how she doesn't know there are human body parts in that is kind of beyond me. I mean, denial is a very powerful
thing. It's a very powerful delusion they have. Yeah. I tell you, that denial is a big one. So, one of the other, let's get into our Pat Boone and yourself on our crossroads. I had never heard of this story until, of course, your wonderful PR person, Harlan, introduced me to you and let me interview you so we can talk about this. How did all that come about? How did they become orphans? What is the story behind the Fraileys, because that's who's telling it. You two are playing the Fraileys, of course, you and Mr. Boone. So how did that come about? Please tell us.
Well, it came about as a, for me, as an author, and I was very pleased to say yes. I love working, and I talked to her on the phone, the real Barbara Frawley, and she was most open, warm, funny, marvelous person. But my understanding of what the film was going to be about was about the fact that she had Parkinson's and raised all these children from a wheelchair. But that is not what the movie is. The movie is she's young and strong, and she raises these children. And then in later life, she's in a wheelchair. So I had a total misunderstanding of what the film was. But my scene with Pat Boone was just one of those gemmy little marvelous scenes.
Unforgettable.
It was a lot of fun to do. And he's a marvelous, he's so unpretentious. I mean, he was one of the biggest stars in the world.
That's right. Really. That's right.
And he's just like the guy next door. If he's the good guy next door, not the Dahmer next door. So it was really easy. I bonded with him right away. It was really, really, it was an easy shoot day for me. And I usually come home complaining about the hours or blah, blah, blah.
You have fun.
It was a happy, happy day for me.
How did you two meet? How did you and Mr. Boone, did you meet on the set for the first time, or had you met before and they called you both together and said, do you want to work together? How did that happen?
Well, I don't know who they called first, probably Pat. And then ran me by him, and hopefully I got his approval. But it was the first day on the set that we met, actually. Mm-hmm. I'd never met him before, but, you know, I knew how hot he was, or had been.
Good looking, too.
In the day, he was, and we talked about his shoes. And
what about his shoes?
Well, there was some song he sang about shoes. I can't remember it now, but he said, "Well, I don't wear those anymore," or something like that. So we had a little giggle on that. And mm-hmm. he's got a wonderful sense of humor. But he's very, very professional. So he had his mind on the job.
On the job, you know.
And so he was very focused on what he had to do. And the crew was nice. It was just, it was like a honeymoon day.
How long did it take to get everything filmed, get the scripts to you guys, get them, you know, get you get you all involved in the parts, and then roll? How long did all of that take?
Well, we got the scripts first, so we got a chance to know our line, you know, to learn mm-hmm. our lines. Mm-hmm. And then the shoot was only one day.
Oh, wow.
And it just went like gangbusters. It was hardly any in and retakes. Out. Mm-hmm. And it just flowed. So I'm a complainer. I whine a lot, which is probably a good thing, because it means I won't go out and shoot somebody. But
well, at least you express it in a lovely way. You whine.
I get it all off in little spurts. It was just a perfect day. It was one of those things where the crew was great. The director, Neil, was wonderful. And Pat was terrific. And it was fun. It was just fun.
Is he that good looking? You know, when I used to see Pat Boone as a little girl, Pat Boone, he always looked so clean and so handsome. You know, one of those kind of guys like you could take home to your mother and your right. relatives, and he'd be presentable, like a Sidney Poitier, those kinds of refined men, you know, that look very polished, and you wouldn't be ashamed to take them at home.
You at Sidney. Go ahead.
I said those kinds of men, those kind of actors that looked all polished and refined. Pat Boone was one of those singers that was like that. I never even looked at him as an actor. I thought of him mostly as a singer. I didn't know he did that much acting. Had he done some other things, you know, that were, you know, maybe we hadn't heard of them, or unless you were following his career.
Yeah, I guess he has, because he seemed perfectly. But I too have always thought of him as a singer. I mean, he was so hot, and I don't know what his period was, whether it was 60s or 70s. But anyway, he was such a big name, but he seemed so comfortable. He must have done a lot
some
of
stuff. Yeah. I'll go back and look later, but I certainly read on all of the things that you've done. Like, wow, you've done some really big roles. Let me ask you something. You've been with your life for a while. How it must be interesting following your career, living you, the living person as an actor, following your career from when you started. And I think the Waltons was your first big, big break right into Hollywood, was getting that. And it was like a first time right off the top. You got it. You went in. They like, yeah, that's it. To now, when you're at this stage and you're still working, girl, you are bad. You're a badass. I mean, I don't care. You're a badass. That's what we call a badass. Assa, I say, because you're a girl. You should be proud of yourself. How do you view yourself after growing up? Because literally you've grown up and into the beautiful woman that we see sitting in front of us today. How has that been for you as an experience?
Well, wait a second. I just need to rub in all those nice things.
They're true. I don't lie. I'm not trying to stroke your ego. I'm just telling you I'm proud. This is this is like gold for me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I never thought I'd get the Waltons. I drove down. I was doing a I was part of a wonderful repertory company in San Francisco called ACT, the American Conservatory Company, and I was kind of the leading lady. And I was supposed to do Private Lives, which Francis Coppola directed, and I suddenly can't think of the
Don't worry about it.
Cleopatra. I was supposed to do those two things on tour. We'd done it at the theater, and then we were going to tour it. And my agent called up and said, come down, there's a part you're just right for. And he sent me the synopsis, and it was a woman in her 40s, like Patricia Neal. And I said, I think she's a great actress, but I'm not at all like her. I'm 32. I have short blonde hair. I had very short hair at the time.
It's cute, I saw.
And I don't think I'm right for it. I don't want to drive all the way down there and blah, blah, blah. And he said, just get your ass down here. So I did. I drove down to my little VW, and I stayed at a Hollywood Land Motel for $12 a night by myself with a bottle of bourbon and a Raggedy Ann. And
your two best friends.
The courage, the bourbon, and the doll for company. And I went for this audition, and I felt like an idiot. I thought, I don't even know what I'm doing here. It was just a bunch of guys. And so I, you know how when you're nervous and you kind of go on the sides of your feet?
Yeah.
Or you twiddle your dress or something. I didn't do it, but I felt like I almost did it. You know, I was so nervous. And then I went back to my motel, and they said, will you do a screen test? And I said, sure. And I did a test with Richard, God bless him, and Ralph. And they were both in costume, and they put me in this wool.
She went off. We lost her. I don't know what happened. She was in the middle of talking about her experience. She's in the middle of talking about her experience on the how she got on the set of the Waltons. How she was a young actor then with short blonde hair, and they wanted a whole nother look that she couldn't be, so she had to be herself, and look what happened. She was her authentic self, and that's how she got the role. So I don't know if we lost her for good, if something maybe... since we had a time getting her on here, it might have been the situation where her battery might have run out on her cell, or maybe the computer or something wasn't plugged in. But at any rate, Ms. Michael Learned, we will have to have her on again to talk to her more thoroughly about her experiences in good old Hollywood. So. For those out there, just don't forget, all of us are watching all of us change and grow. If I keep doing this radio station, one day I'm going to be 90 or something or whatever it is. If you out there as listeners keep waking up every day and watching and doing and living, you're going to be, if you're fortunate enough, to be one of these ages one day. If you're a child, you know, and you're watching us out there, one day when we're somewhere else and you're just now getting in your 30s, 40s or whatever, and they go, wow, I remember that lady, or I remember that show from LA Talk Radio that we used to watch. So don't forget, there should be no judgment about anything out there, because we're all, if we live long enough, you're going to age. You don't have to be old, but you're definitely going to age. If you live long enough, you probably may have kids, may not, may get married, may not, may have relationships, may not, may have a business, may not. But at any plate, we all are going to have those. Hi, you're back. She's back.
Oh, I don't know what keeps happening.
I don't know. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I was filling them in. We were talking about old Hollywood and the subject of aging. And I was saying how wonderful it is that you were talking about the people that you work with. I think you said somebody named Richard and another person, and how you got on the set of the Waltons, just being your authentic self. And I was saying that as we all go along every day, we get to see each other grow. I get to see you change. I get to see your career. People get to see me on a talk radio. One day in 15 years, I'll be, if I'm still here, I'll be on the talk radio. So we're all building a legacy and building what we want to leave as imprints when we don't have to be here anymore for whatever reason that is, whether we want to quit or do something else or whatever. So finish your talking because it's almost time for us to go, and I want you to finish at least another 5, 6, 7 minutes.
I can't even remember.
I can remember. We were talking about Richard, and you were talking about how before you got on the set of the Waltons, you said they were all in costume, and then they were talking to you. That's what you were talking about before cut off.
And they put me in costume, too, and I hadn't done film in a long time. I'd been doing theater.
Mm-hmm. Theater.
And it was like I was in a limbo in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I never thought for a minute that I would get it. And I was all wrong for it. I was 32 with short blonde hair, and they wanted a woman in her 40s with long red hair. And I went back to the motel, my cheap little motel, and I got a phone call saying,
You got the part.
You're the mother of America.
Wow. And you were the mother of America. I used to get up and watch the Waltons. Wasn't there the one, bye, John. Good night, John Boy. Good night.
Yes.
Good night. And they'd all say good night because the kids were, there was so many kids.
I know. And it's still going on. People do it, you know. Somebody else was asking me about it, and I said, you know, I was in a 5-day kind of, I don't know what it is, a 5-day.
Well, you guys had a 50th anniversary celebration last year. That was 2023.
Yeah, we did. But I was in this rehab, I guess, for Al-Anon, Al-Anon being for people who have alcoholics.
Alcoholism.
At nighttime, I was sharing the room with another girl, and at nighttime, I suddenly heard, good night, Alice, good night, Nancy, good night, Becky, good night, so-and-so. I realized suddenly what they were doing. It was really cute, and I got up and said, good night, everybody.
I think that everyone should do that. I think that's such a high regard for respect, to say good night, because we don't know if we're going to wake up the next day. You don't know. So I think it is a very proper etiquette to have that, say good night, make sure. Like, I never like to go to bed angry with anyone. It just bothers me. It works on my consciousness. Like, look, they mad at me. I'm mad. Oh, Lord, I can't do it. You know, and I have to shift it. So what are you doing now, sweetheart? What can we look forward to? Looking for you, seeing you, watching your light shine.
I wish I could tell you I'm doing something utterly magnificent, but I haven't had a call. I'm waiting for the phone to ring.
Are you writing? Maybe writing some memoirs, books or anything?
I'm writing, and I'm, you know, Christmas has got me by the you know what.
By the boobs, so, not the balls.
I've been out all morning, and that's why I was late for your interview, and you were so understanding.
It's okay. Stuff happens all the time. I don't have any ill will. I'm just glad you made it because I wanted to talk to you. I was going to be disappointed because I didn't get to see you, not because you were late.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. So listen, what are you doing for the holidays? Are you going to try to get your mind focused on doing something in the new year? You're just like hanging out and chilling and not doing much.
My kids are all coming over, so I'll have a big table for Christmas dinner.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the rest, then it's a time to chill after. I'll probably take to my bed for a day after it's all over.
See, you did.
I love having my kids.
Do you love, how many, where are they? And also, I wanted to talk a little bit about how did you get from, I read a little bit about how you, what you did in England and how that led you into eventually coming into theater and all of that. But what led you to actually crossing the waters and getting into America?
Well, my father was actually working for the government.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
Not really supposed to talk about what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But he's gone now, so I guess it doesn't matter too much. But it was kind of Secret Service work.
Okay.
And I didn't know any of this at the time, but We traveled from Spain. We went over in a freighter that took forever. And oh my God, I thought we were going to die because the waves, you couldn't see out the porthole. All you could see was water. It was mm-hmm. like being in a submarine. And here we were, five kids, two cats, and a dog.
All on the boat?
One of the kids was a baby in diapers. My parents were gallant.
Oh, wow.
And then we traveled from Bilbao, Spain, and then we went to Madrid, then we went to Rome, then we went to a place called Cherbourg in France, mm-hmm. and then we went to settle in Austria, and we lived there for 3.5 years. I went to the local school mm-hmm. and learned German very quickly. You do when you're young. Mm-hmm. And then, but I was very depressed as a child. I was about 12, I guess. And I cried all the time and my hands shook. And
you're sensitive.
I don't know what it was, but the doctor said, she doesn't have enough kids in this village who are interested in the same things that she is, because I wanted to be a dancer.
You were a ballerina, as a matter of fact. La prima ballerina.
That's what I wanted, but yes. I wasn't anywhere close. But so my mother said, how would you like to go to the Sadler's Wells? And I thought, oh, Sadler's Wells, yes, blah, blah. And, but they didn't accept me because I was too tall and I had flat feet. So so they found another boarding school for me, and I was so homesick and miserable the entire time I was there. Until
okay.
one of the teachers said, could you cry a bit more quietly, please, Michael?
Well, listen, we are going to have to go, everybody. I'm sorry the show was a little choppy today, but we got her here, and we delivered, and I'm so happy that we got her. We're going to have her back just so we can get the full-on talk about it. But we can find her. Anything you want to find out about Michael, learn it. Go online, Wikipedia, IMDb. There's a lot. She's done many, many more things. The Dahmer series was so interesting. And Our Crossroads, please, those are human, inspiring, kind of real-life, inspirational stories that anybody can get with, anybody, no matter where you are, what stage you are in life. Also, for me, check out YouTube, 15 Minutes to Show, my IG, Osiris_Munir_the painter. And don't forget that without you, I can't do this. I can't have wonderful people like this woman coming on to share things that you would never believe. They are truly unbelievable in our world of things that people are doing that we've never heard of before. So don't forget. A smile works wonders. Always smile. It's been Osiris again with 15 Minutes of Show, along with this beautiful woman, Ms. Michael Learned. And we will be back with you next week, showtime. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.